brick. I got this life to fix. Threw it all out in a ditch. It's Greg and Dan Show, WMBD. Yeah, we have a lot to fix. We have a lot to fix.
Brick by brick, Greg.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
How do you eat an elephant?
Yep. One bite at a time.
Right. Ambrose McCall is our good friend. He is our go-to attorney friend about things on social media. Ambrose, good morning. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Dan.
I believe the first guest with his own song. Is that
yeah,
true?
He personally,
outside of Mark Elgin.
He personally requested that song, so that made us very happy, Ambrose. Sir, let's talk about social media. In particular, there's some new players. One is, the biggest one is probably Parler. Parler came on board under the umbrella of, look, the other social media outlets are starting to fact check people, block people if they think that what they said was untrue, and Parler is wide open. My immediate question that started this request for your conversation is, what does that do to the individual who might say something that could cause harm or injure somebody if somebody took a violent approach to what they had to say? Is the user at risk of what they say?
Certainly, it depends on what they are saying. And Greg, as usual, you have five great questions in one. We'll start with the potential for criminal liability. Yes, in Illinois, for example, for the past 2 years, we've had a criminal law in the book, cyber stalking, and a person can violate that law by using social media to put someone in fear of their personal safety or putting them in emotional distress, depending on the content of what they're saying and how frequently they say it. Crimes can be committed with verbal conduct, as for a long time we've known through criminal conspiracies and other actions. So if someone goes online and directly threatens someone with harm, and it's not seen as a humorous or a parody or some other type of verbal conduct or a publishing conduct, yes, they could be responsible for certain consequences of that. It's not prosecuted frequently, but kind of under the radar. We knew when the case started in Massachusetts, I don't know if people remember, Ms. Carter, she was a juvenile when she was prosecuted for involuntary manslaughter, for suggesting that her friend go through with his attempted suicide.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that, yeah.
That went all the way up to the state Supreme Court in Massachusetts last year, and that conviction was affirmed. The key fact was when the victim came out of the truck, she told him to go back in, and she also sent text messages at the same time to others confirming that she knew of the harm she had done.
Wow.
They took it to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said not interested in January of this year. So that's out there as a precedent.
So is it the threat that you could get criminal action taken against you, or is it someone going through with the action? I think of Steve Bannon saying, yeah, Fauci should be beheaded. And I'm like, wow, that's threatening someone. Maybe he didn't do it personally, but he threw it out there. So is he under any law liable or criminally liable or could be charged, or does the action have to take place?
That's a great question, Dan. And I've wondered ever since I read that whether Mr. Bannon has been visited by agents from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, because that's making a very open indirect threat against a senior government official, and whether one agrees with Dr. Fauci or not, if you can do that about any senior government officials, let's say someone said that about the president, I would think they would get a visit and a file would start being built.
So the creation of a new website, and again, I'm picking on Parler because that's the most popular one, but there's a couple others out there right now that are new apps, new social media platforms. The others started fact-checking or blocking if what was posted was deemed to be untrue. And so the allure to these new places is, we won't do that. We're not going to fact-check. So you can say whatever you want. It's a free forum to say whatever you want.
Like that one gentleman said about killing liberals or whatever.
Well, that was a threat, actually. That guy said that, yeah, a guy said that every conservative should kill two liberals.
Right.
But let's just say it's a story about the election, right? And a person says blah, blah, blah about the election. And other social medias would say, or social media platforms would say, well, we know that not to be true. Is there any liability in just spreading a falsehood?
Well, let's take it back, sort of like the Wizard of Oz. Let's pull the curtain on Parler a little bit to see what's the same or different about it.
Okay.
And what's interesting to me is that the main funder for Parler is Rebecca Mercer.
Mm-hmm.
She is part of the Mercer family. Her father was a hedge fund manager who was co-founder of Cambridge Analytica. For those who follow social media, Cambridge Analytica was the firm that got Facebook in a lot of trouble because the way they were taking data from people without their consent, or if with their consent, misusing it to do all kinds of social analysis. So it's interesting to me in the larger circle of things. Wait a minute, Cambridge Analytica, they used to have a contractual relationship with Facebook. Then you go into Parler, and its terms and conditions, it can still boot people for spamming. And the very intelligent, young 27-year-old CEO of Parler, John Matz, has said that if people do certain things, they will be booted. And in fact, it even had users booted who then complained on Twitter about him. So,
oh my gosh, we're going into a crazy place. Oh my gosh, it's wild.
So, but if that guy said that, that one gentleman said, we should all kill two liberals on the same day, all at once. So, if some people actually went through with that, is he liable, or is Parler liable, or both?
I don't think Parler's liable, and so as I'm signaling, Parler is checking for trolls and certain things that they don't want either. What's curious about the threat that was made on Parler is that it's not specific. It's like someone trying to make a curse. How do you identify who's a liberal? In other words, are they talking about voters?
Yeah,
are they talking about office holders? And do they even have a comprehension as to who's liberal and who's not in Congress or elsewhere? But the recent congressional hearings that concluded this week were also of great interest to me because I saw the end of it. And Senator Lindsey Graham and Senator Richard Blumenthal, Senator Graham, Republican, South Carolina, Senator Blumenthal, Democrat, Connecticut, they were practically toasting each other for cheers about how they were going to reconvene next year to revisit Section 230, and were telling Mr. Zuckerberg from Facebook and Mr. Dorsey from Twitter, you're going to be back next year, and so are your colleagues who aren't here next year to talk about this more. So people who think there's not going to be any change to Section 230, I don't see that. I think they're going to make some changes.
But those two were getting just all sides, everyone. It looked like two turkeys on Thanksgiving Eve.
But try not to. You get slaughtered. No, you get slaughtered.
No, everyone in the room, Democrats and Republicans, going are all him. Ready to eat them. Yeah.
Hey, Ambrose, real quick. This is a bigger picture, philosophical, maybe even something that I just need to hear. I believe that the law is still true and good, and that the evolution of the law in America is our final protection. Because much of what we talk about in the world, especially on social media these days, is always up to interpretation, your point of view, confirmation bias, all of those factors. Do you still have great faith in the protections that the law of America gives us?
I do, Greg. And the challenge, I think, actually, is that our technology is outpacing our social capacity to interact in positive and productive fashion. What's happening, in my personal view, is that the technology is allowing the loudest voice, not necessarily the smartest voice or informed voice, to have a large megaphone. And you see that in various attempts to make everything extreme. But I think as everyone learns how to use these tools, I think it's going to get dialed back a little bit.
Okay, good. That makes me feel good. All right, next time we talk to you, Danny, what was it next time we were going to spring it on?
Well, the vaccine will be coming out.
Oh, yes.
And can businesses require you to get the vaccine?
All the legal ramifications of that. Can we talk to you about that down the road?
That'd be fantastic.
All right. You have a great weekend, sir. Thank you very much. Ambrose McCall, we appreciate you. 850 on WMBD, Busey Bank, I appreciate them. Now, here's something very important. Been talking to a lot of our friends who own restaurants and small businesses. For the last number of years, there's been Small Business Saturday, right? That's the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Small Business Saturday is where you just consciously that day, but we want you to do it all month long from here all the way to Christmas, where you go, all right, I could go buy something over there online. You know what? I can get that same thing over there.
Mm-hmm.
I can just get that same thing over there. Why don't I do that?
Mm-hmm.
That way, I'm helping out some friends of mine who live in my town or my community or my area. My taxes are going to go to the city. That's going to help the city. So that's coming up. And Busey Bank's been a big part of that, and they want to make sure that you know a couple things. We have 1.2 million small businesses in the state of Illinois. We have thousands, of course, right here in the Tri-County area. We all need those businesses to stay open. This year, Small Business Saturday has never been more important.
I want you to come to give with a speech, just like in the movie Miracle, Herb Brooks in the locker room, saying that we need to support small businesses. It's their time. Go out and help them. And then someone grabs their mask like Rizzo does in there and just puts it on, and you march out to the ice.
Exactly,
to help
man. I'm telling you, this is big. And Busey has been around, part of our Central Illinois community since 1868. They love us as much as we love them. So go to Busey.com for more info. You can also connect to them on social media. They're out there. Or call them at 1-800-67-BUSEY, Busey Bank, member FDIC.
I'm tired of hearing about how good Amazon is. This is your